This man, 42 years old, he is in perfect health. One day at 42, he got to feeling real bad. She took him to the hospital, and the doctors began to check him, and they opened him up and looked inside him, done some tests, sewed him back up, and said, "We're sorry. You have stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer in every organ of your body. There's nothing can be done. You'll be dead in a few weeks." Is that what a man that's gone to church every Sunday, is that what he wants to hear when he's 40 years old? When my wife told me that Ed Brock had had exploratory surgery and he wasn't doing very well, "You better go see him." Well, God had already put me in the healing ministry. You know, I didn't know anything yet, but I'm learning. So he's teaching me. So I go down to the hospital and find his room. And when his wife comes out, I said, "Ruthie," I said, "how's Ed?" She said, "Thurman, he's not any good at all." She said, "He has stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer in every organ of his body. And the doctor said, there's no hope." She said, "I ask, how about if we give him chemo? How about a 50-50 with chemo?" They said, "No, ma'am, he has it in every organ of his body." She said, "Well, can't we use radiation or something? Is it a 95-5 or something?" And I said, "Miss Brock, we're sorry. He has it in every organ of his body. There's nothing you can do for your husband but take him home and let him die." Now see, these are Christians. And that's where we are as a church. But when she told me that night, the Lord had a plan. I didn't have a clue what he was going to do with me, but just as clear as a bell, when she told me this, I hear this voice: "Son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him and I will heal him." Now, she's standing right there. But she didn't hear that. But my goodness, I heard it. It was loud. I mean, it wasn't weak. It was bold. "Son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him and I will heal him." Now, you got to remember, I'm still a Southern Baptist at this point. I ain't never seen a healing in my life. And they just told me that this guy has stage 4 lymphoma, terminal cancer. Now, you got to just be patient with me as I pray with her. And then I'm walking down the hall going home. I said, "Lord, you didn't hear what she said." See, that goes to tell you how little I know about God. Do you think God's hard hearing? No, I don't think so at all. He heard perfectly. He didn't say a word. I can only see now if the Lord had spoken to me again, but he didn't. If he had spoken again, I can just see him now looking down and say, "Son, if you ever get a hold of who I really am, you know, you're going to just do what I tell you to do. There ain't going to be no problems." But I wasn't there yet. I mean, I had never seen a person healed. You can understand if you ain't never seen nothing like this in your life and you hear this authoritative voice tell you what to do, and that he is going to heal this man with stage 4 cancer. So I went home that night and I said, "Lord, I'm going to have something in your word." On the way home, I said, "Lord, you told me to test every spirit." I'd read that. Yeah. You told me to test every spirit. I said, "Well, Lord, I ain't never seen nobody healed, especially with stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer." So I said, "Lord, I got to have something in your word that confirms what you just told me. I'm having troubles with this. Do y'all know where I'm coming from? I'm having real troubles with this. I'm a Baptist, Southern Baptist. Never seen a healing in my life. Never heard anybody talk about healing. Never seen a miracle. Never seen an answer to prayer that I know of. It just don't happen hardly in a Baptist church. We don't have many answers to prayer." So anyway, I got home that night, and for the first time in my life, I started looking up healing. Now, I didn't have the fancy computers and stuff I got now, so I had books. It took me a lot longer. But I looked up everything I could find under healing. Well, it wasn't long that I come upon this wonderful promise in James 5, 14, 15, and 16. Now then, if that was the only healing verse we had, look at this. In James 5, 14, "Is any sick among you?" I mean, who in the world would that include in the church? Now, it doesn't have to be in the Baptist church. It could be in the Methodist church, the Church of Christ, the Pentecostal church. I mean, the Lutheran, Methodist, anybody, right? If you're a member of the church, now then, what makes you a member of the church? Belonging to the Baptist church? No. What makes you a member of the church? Believing in Jesus, right? Yes. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a member of the one and only church. You know, there's not going to be Church of Christ in heaven. There's not going to be Church of the Baptist in heaven. There ain't going to be Methodist churches in heaven. We're going to be the church, right? We are the church. So anybody, I don't care who you are, I don't care what denomination or anything else you belong to, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe that Jesus died for you, that the Father raised Him from the dead on the third day, if you really believe that by faith in your heart, you're a member of the church. So this is who this is talking to. It says, is any sick among you? Well, that included Ed. He was a member of the church. But he says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, wow. When I read that, I thought, Lord, that's almost what I heard you say down there. And then, of course, right there, right behind that, I heard the enemy speak to me. This is the second, and I've only heard the enemy speak to me two times in my whole life. And praise God, because I know he talks. And, of course, this may sound a little strange to you, but the voice of the enemy and the voice of God sound exactly the same. He's really good at what he does. He can duplicate God's voice precisely. He can tell you something. And even if you've heard God's voice before, he can speak it just exactly like God. But you have to be able to determine from the message, is it from God? That's when you have to have the ability to discern the spirits. We have that as children of God. And so you have to believe that. So anyway, the voice came and said, oh, you've just read that before. That was in your subconscious, and that really wasn't God speaking to you. I thought, now, wait a minute. The voice I heard down at the hospital told me to tell Ed to do this, and he'd get healed. This voice I'm hearing here is saying, I'm just, you know, I've read that before. And it's in my subconscious. It wasn't really God talking to me. But I'm going to tell you, it was God talking to me. The first time was the Lord, and the second time was the enemy. At that point, I didn't know how to discern this, and so I thought, Lord, I'm losing my mind. And so I just closed my books and went to bed. And, of course, from Wednesday night till Sunday morning, I fought a battle in the spirit realm. The Lord was trying to get my attention. The enemy was trying to deceive me. And finally, Sunday morning, I woke up, and I told my wife, honey, I don't know how you're going to receive this. But I said, I've never told anybody. But I said, in the last 8 years, I have heard God's voice four times, and he speaks to me. She said, you're hearing God talk to you? I said, yes. And she said, well, what did he say? I said, well, this last time was last Wednesday night, and it was about Ed Brock. I said, the Lord told me to tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him, and he'll heal him. And I said, I found it in the Word where it says the same thing. And this woman, thank God for women, because she'd never heard the voice of God. Far as I know, never did hear it in her whole life. Not that I know of. She didn't ever tell me. But she said, well, good grief, if you heard God tell you to do something, let's go do it. I thought, now I'm the one who heard the voice, and I hadn't got enough faith to do it. You see why I say praise God for women. See, you women have got this extra sense that us guys don't have. Y'all can multitask, and we can't. You know, and so that's just the way God made us. So y'all need to be understanding with us, because we just don't know how to multitask. It's impossible for us to multitask. Men can't do that. But now women, man, they can talk on the telephone. They can cook a cake. They can be washing dishes. They can be changing the diapers of the baby. I mean, they can do everything all at one time and never miss nothing. I mean, they can do it all. But God made y'all like that. But y'all think we ought to be like that. But I got news for you. We're not. So learn to live with us. You women don't understand, when you come out and your husband's working on the car or your washing machine or whatever he's working on, he's working on that or doing something, and he's all engrossed. And you come in and say, honey, you say, yes. He said, I want you to go to town and get some bread and milk for me. Okay, I'll do that. And when I go get these parts for this machine, I'll get that. Well, you walk off, and he goes to town and gets the stuff and comes back, and he's fixing the washing machine or car, whatever he's working on. She walks up and says, where's the bread and milk? And he said, where's the what? Didn't you hear me when I walked up here a while ago and told you to get some bread and milk? You didn't tell me to get some bread and milk. I don't remember that at all. Now, see, she gets all upset at him. You know, if you want to get his attention when he's there working on it, you walk up to him and say, honey, tap him on the shoulder. And he looks around and say, honey, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you so sweet. Okay, now you've got his attention. Are you going to go to town in a minute? Well, yeah. See, he's totally concentrated on you now. When you go to town, will you get me some bread and milk? Okay, I'll get you some bread and milk. Now he'll go back to what he's doing, and when he goes to that, he'll think about the bread and milk. but you had to slap him around two or three times, get his attention to get his mind on what you're talking about, because if you don't, he is set on one thing. And that's the way men are made. So anyway, we went over that Sunday afternoon. They had sent Ed home to die. I mean, there's nothing we can do for him, the hospital said. Now, they sent off tests of his organs that they took samples of biopsies, whatever. The MD Anderson and the Mayo Clinic and the Louisville Hospital done the test, and all three of them came back with the same results. It's over. Now, if MD Anderson and Mayo Clinic tells you it's over, that's pretty good to be over, isn't it, young lady? I mean, those are two of the finest places around, isn't it? So anyway, they sent Ed home to die, and they sent him home Sunday morning. So Sunday afternoon after church, we went out to see him. And I sat down with him, and I said, Ed, I have a word from God for you. Now, that's not something you hear very often in a Baptist church. He said, what do you mean you have a word from God? I said, let me open my Bible. I want to read this to you. And so I opened it to James 5:14. And I read that, is any sick among you? I read that right there to him. Now then, when we read God's word, here's the thing we got to do. Believe it, right? Now, what do most of us do, brother? We doubt it. That's exactly right. You know, I mean, of course, we got this little enemy there that God made, you know, and he's there saying, when you read something powerful like that, he's tapping you on the shoulder and say, oh, you old fool, you know that couldn't possibly work for you. And so he deceives us, doesn't he? He deceived me a lot of years. I mean, a lot of years. And I know he has most of y'all, too. So anyway, I read that to Ed. Ed had his Bible open. He looked, he said, now, Thurman, wait a minute. He said, I'm 42 years old. He said, I've been in church all my life. I was raised in church. But he said, I never heard that verse. I never heard it taught on a Sunday school class. Never heard it read in church. He said, if that verse still worked today, somebody would have taught us this. I said, well, Ed, maybe they're like I am. I said, I'm a Sunday school teacher myself in a Baptist church, and I didn't know those verses were in the Bible. I had never read them. Or if I had of, they didn't stick. You know, have you ever read something and highlighted and underlined it, and then somebody tells you about it, and you come back later and say, that ain't in there, and you open your Bible, and you got it highlighted and underlined? You know, it was in there, wasn't it? But you just didn't remember it.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled, The Power Behind Us is Awesome, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.